Good morning. We doing good? I love this place. I love what goes on and the things that we get to participate in, the season we're in. Love that testimony, Savannah. Anna, thank you so much. Wasn't that awesome? I almost feel like I could... I feel like my message today could be, go and do likewise. Let's pray. You know, I would just go home. It's perfect. I want to tell a little story that kind of helps go into what we're going to be talking about today. And it's kind of cool because I'm talking about one of my children who's usually behind the soundboard, Matthew, and he's not. So that means I won't get muted as I talk about him, which is kind of nice. It's him and Autumn's anniversary, so happy anniversary to you guys. But when Matthew was a lot younger, I'm guessing he was about 9 years old, we decided, we were in Southern California, we decided to take a little vacation and travel to the happiest place on earth. You guys know what I'm talking about? Went to Atlanta, exactly. No, we went to Disneyland. Church, I just got to tell you, it was not the happiest place on earth. I'm just going to be honest, okay? We got there, we were on vacation, we thought, you know, we should try to pick a day when no one else goes. So we went down for Thanksgiving. What did anybody tell me? Yeah, we go down for Thanksgiving. We decided the day after Thanksgiving, everyone would be with family. They probably wouldn't be. It was the busiest day of the year that year at Disneyland in Los Angeles. So I remember we took Matthew, about 9 years old, and Maris and Hope are both in a double stroller. And we parked and got there, totally excited for being there, and it took us a long time to park, and we got in there, and then I remember just being stunned at how many people. We pushed this stroller carefully without running people over to Dumbo, because that's what Matthew wanted to ride. It was like a 3-hour and 15-minute wait to get on Dumbo. And I thought to myself, that's Dumbo. We're not going to... So we looked at other rides, and I remember pushing somewhere between the Matterhorn and another place, and we were standing off to the side, and it was so busy with people, we couldn't get across. And it went from being the happiest place on earth to the busiest place on earth, or the dumbest day to bring a stroller day on earth, place on earth, or what was I thinking, place on earth. But as we were sitting there, we actually thought, maybe we should just go. This is just crazy. And so as Michelle and I were discussing what we should do, a man walked up to us. And his name tag should have said Jesus. How many of you guys know Jesus goes to Disneyland? Check this out. So this man comes up to us and he goes, hey, are you guys doing okay? And we probably had this kind of look on our face. I said, no, not really. And what's going on? I go, well, we're trying to get over there and it's almost impossible. And we were over there, but I said, we're actually thinking about leaving. He goes, wow. He goes, this is the busiest day of the year. Did you know that when you... Yeah, I did. No, didn't enter my mind. So he goes, hang on for a second. And he disappears into the crowd. So we're still talking about what we should do. And a guy comes back and he goes, here, I want to give these to you. And I go, what are these? And he hands us these three pass-looking things. And he goes, all you got to do for the rest of the day is go through the exit and just when you're down there, show them to the people that are helping people on the train. Whatever ride you want, just use these for the day. And then when you're done, you know, hand them off when you walk out. And I said, are they some kind of pass? He goes, yeah, you'll enjoy it. Go ahead. So with some new life in us, I took Matthew by the hand, and I said, come on, let's go do the Matterhorn, which was, I think it was like 6 days. You had to wait 6 days to get on the Matterhorn. You know, the people at day one, day two, how much longer? 7 days. So we're walking down the exit, and we get down the exit, and we kind of stop. There's about 30 people in front of us, people that need help, you know, crutches, all kinds of things. So I see the guy kind of look up at us, and so I just took my little thing, and he goes, oh, stops the first person in line. They're like, you know, and says, come here. I'm like, me? And he goes, yeah, come here. Pulls us all the way down in the front, stops people from getting on the car, puts us on the next car, and on the ride we go. I was like, did that just happen? So every ride that we got on through the exit, it didn't matter who else was in line. We showed them the pass. They stopped everyone, pulled us down, and we got on the ride. All of a sudden, rides that were 7 days long became 7 seconds. And to be honest with you, I felt a little bad. You know, I'm squeezing around people that need physical aid to get on the thing. I'm like, sorry, you know. But this is what the Lord spoke to me. He said, don't be embarrassed of my favor. My favor on you doesn't displace my favor on anybody else. And so then I wanted to hold Matthew's shoulders and go like, the champ is here. The champ is here. And run through the line, boasting about his goodness. We went through line after line after line. It was amazing. The reason I share that story with you is because God can part the sea of your circumstances, of your situation, of your what am I going to do now, and of your park lines in our life all the time. I was standing in front of a sea of people, getting ready to leave and turn because how we wanted to bless our kids that day was not going to happen. And to me, the parable, Jesus came out of nowhere and said, why don't you use these passes? And church, that's what we have for us today because we are in Christ. The favor of God rests upon us. So whatever you're facing, love what Savannah said, whatever mountain is in front of you, we don't stand there and wait for it to move. You run at it knowing that he's going to carve a path through that mountain for us to go through. God will part your sea. That which seems too big to overcome becomes a testimony in the rearview mirror of life. I get this image of when we're driving, and you see in all the action films and all of that, someone's driving the car, they look in the rearview mirror, right? Explosions, destruction, all of this stuff. When we're driving our car and we look in the rearview mirror of life, the road is scattered with trophies and testimonies and monuments of the goodness of God and how he's pushed us through the last thing we went through, which gives us that confidence to move forward and face what's in front of us. Check out your rearview mirror every once in a while and see what the Lord has done. That's what's behind us. So now I want to teach my message. It's called Try This at Home, Remedies for Busyness. Yeah, Remedies for Busyness. So it's crazy, you know, I've been preparing for this over the last few weeks. This week was so busy. I don't understand, you know, what happened. In preparing for this, I read a book called Crazy Busy, and it had some interesting statistics that I want to share with you this morning. First, how many commuters in the room? Who commutes to work? Check this out. The first thing interesting about being crazy busy or the issue, we're stressed out. Commuters experience greater levels of stress than fighter pilots or riot police. Yeah, I got a couple amens on that one. Think about that. Someone who commutes to work experiences more stress than a fighter pilot or an average or riot police. The second thing, we work the longest. British workers put in an extra hour every day compared to the Germans and Italians, but they're still almost an hour less than Americans. Should be up there, yeah. 6.8 hours, Italy, Germany, United Kingdom, 7.8, the United States, 8.8 hours a day. We have longer work weeks despite our continued improvements in efficiency. This one cracked me up. In 1967, futurists predicted coming generations would have too much spare time. Whoops. Testimony before a Senate committee claimed that by 1985, the average work week would be just 22 hours. Whoops, right? Projected hours a week is in blue, actual hours is in green. Now we're running up at about 60 hours per week. And that was as of 2013. We rest way less than other developed nations. While workers in Norway enjoy nearly 70 vacation days per week, or per year, excuse me, per week. It's that line at Disneyland, I'm still having flashbacks, sorry. 70 vacation days per year, workers in the United States are busy putting in nearly 14 more work weeks and taking only a small amount of time off in comparison. Did we mention that even with all that time off, Norway is still known for its work ethic and high standard of living? The fifth thing, we believe the lie that we need more time. The supply will not go up. There's no price for it and no margin utility curve for it. Therefore, it's always in exceedingly short supply. Number six, we cannot multitask. I cannot multitask. Yeah. The brain can put forth effort in two mental processes, can't process at the same time. We may think we are multitasking, but we're actually switch-tasking. The seventh thing, there's eight of them. We're stressing out our kids. Secondhand stress is a big problem for kids. Researchers interviewed more than 1,000 kids in grades 3 through 12 and asked them, if you were granted one wish to change the way that your mother's father's work affects your life, what would that wish be? The answers were striking. Instead of wishing for more face-to-face time with their parents, they wished that their parents would simply be less stressed out. And then lastly, we're not getting enough sleep. 40 million, more than a third of all working adults, get fewer than 6 hours of sleep at night. It's over 40 million people with sleep deprivation. Driving in Atlanta. No, sorry. Also, the average American gets 2.5 fewer hours of sleep per night than they did a century ago. So we want to talk about busyness and the remedy for it. There we go. Now I'm having technical difficulties. There we go. So busyness robs us of the peace and joy that Jesus purchased for us to live in daily. And I think it's important for us to look at being busy versus busyness because it's different. I'm not telling you, I want you to go to work tomorrow and said, I listened to this message. And he said we shouldn't be busy. So I'm leaving at 2. I'm going to go fishing. Sounds relaxing. It's not what I'm saying because there's nothing wrong with being busy. You can look all through Scripture and see all the examples of how we're encouraged to be busy and not idle. But something happens when it turns into busyness. So I want to look at those. The definition of busy is not at leisure. It's keeping occupied actively and attentively. And as I said, there's Scriptures all over in Titus 2. When it's talking about teaching the older women to be reverent, and then they can urge younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, and it says this, to be busy at home. In Ecclesiastes 10:18, through laziness, the rafters sag, because of idle hands, the house leaks. There's all of these, 1 Thessalonians, we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. There's passages all over the place, 2 Thessalonians 3:11, we hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy, they are busy bodies. There's nothing wrong with us being busy. So if, please, through all of this, don't hear me saying, everyone stop being busy, don't do anything. There's a right way to be busy. But when we allow that busy to become busyness, everything changes. Busyness means, definition, to be over-occupied. Lively but meaningless activity, busy with the wrong things. So you can see how busyness is being active and it's doing things and it's being intent, but when you switch to busyness, it's over-occupied. There's meaningless activity that gets pulled into the mix, or we become busy with the wrong things. I read an article last week by Brené Brown, and she was talking at a TED Talk. And she was talking about vulnerability, and she mentioned this. She said that she was addressing the whole aspect of Americans as crazy busy, and she felt that sometimes we keep ourselves in a state of busyness so we don't have to acknowledge the current state of the way things are. If I stay crazy busy, I don't have to acknowledge what is really happening. It can be this numbing thing, she said, and as long as we push harder, I don't have to stop and see the things that are going on around me. Busyness causes stress, which steals our joy, that zaps our energy, and causes us to lose focus. So as we move forward, I want us to look at Luke 10. It's a familiar passage, and I really think it speaks well to busyness. It's a story of Mary and Martha, and we're just going to look at this and see Jesus' response to it and pull what I've been saying out of this passage. So I'm starting at verse 38. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had said. But Martha was distracted by all of the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Just a side note. You know, when you write a note to somebody, you might put 10 exclamation points or a little smiley face. When the Bible uses an exclamation point, it's saying that there's some oomph behind this. So when she says, "Tell her to help me," it wasn't like, could you please tell her to, no, it was like, "Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." Now, I got to be honest. How many of you guys read this, and you think about it, you're like, wow, Jesus? You know, she's doing good things. She's in there making food that you're going to eat, right? She's in there cleaning the house, making sure this beds, get those blankets, this push. Anybody think like that? Anybody think like that? Honest, raise their hand. Yeah, there we go. You kind of look at it, you go, gosh, what's the problem? You know, how come this gets turned into that? But what I've realized is Martha kind of brings this on herself by the way that she brings it, and we'll talk about that. Mary wanted to be busy with listening to Jesus, and Martha had in her mind all of the stuff that had to be done for Jesus and his disciples to come and stay. Imagine if you invited some people from church, 12, 13 people, and maybe some family members. You say, "Hey, guys, want to come over and stay with me?" What kind of preparations would need to take place? So I want you to know, it's not that Martha did a bad thing by wanting to do those preparations. But see, here's the thing. When the stuff that has to be done takes precedence over Jesus, now we have a problem. That's where the problem comes. And it can be so subtle sometimes, it can sneak up on us. See, Martha, in her frustration, chose to put what she thought was the most important thing against what Mary thought, thinking, of course, that Jesus would back her. So I want us to look at, we're going to look at a couple causes of busyness, and then we're going to look at the remedy for them. How many of you guys can honestly say, yeah, there's times when busyness takes over my life? Yeah, I mean, all of us do. I'm preparing for the message. It's like, geez, I get really busy. All these things. There's knocks at the door, phone calls. Hey, we got to take care of this. It just creeps in on us. So what do we do in those situations? So the first thing I want to talk about is the first cause of busyness that we see in this passage and that we know of is distress. Now, this is interesting. Distress, the word that mermano, I think is how it's pronounced, is where we get distress from. It means to be anxious. It's troubled with cares. And the last piece of it is it seeks to promote one's interest. So that's the kind of distress it was. I want to read one section again of the story in Luke 10, but I want to read it from the message. You know, sometimes the wet message just words things the way. I want you to hear it from this. So a woman by the name of Martha welcomed him and made him feel quite at home. She had a sister, Mary, who sat before the master, hanging on every word he said. But Martha was pulled away by all she had to do in the kitchen. Later, she stepped in, interrupting them, "Master, don't you care that my sister has abandoned me to the kitchen? Tell her to lend me a hand." And the master said, "Martha, dear Martha, you're fussing far too much and getting yourself worked up over nothing. One thing is essential, and Mary's chosen it. It's the main course, and it won't be taken from her." So we see in the NIV, and we see also in the message, where he says, you're worried and upset about many things, or you're fussing far too much and getting yourself worked up over nothing. I have this mind that sees things play out. Anybody with me on that? So it's funny because I see her come in and she interrupts them. So Jesus is teaching, he's telling, and it's not, you know, you gotta realize it's not just Mary in there who's sitting there. There's the disciples and there's other people who are hanging out as Jesus is talking, and she comes in there interrupting them. Yeah, Jesus, tell us about how to pray. Well, I think what you should do, excuse me. You know, and she expresses her frustration of what's going on and then asks Jesus, do you not care about this? Now, the funny thing is how Jesus responds shows us a lot about busy versus busyness. First of all, Jesus didn't go into the kitchen and go, Martha, excuse me, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just preparing stuff. Can't you see all the spiritual people in the other room? Well, I'm trying to make, look, there, muffins for days. Now get over here and sit down and can't believe I had to go in there and get, you know better than this. That doesn't happen. Do you think he knows she's in the kitchen preparing and doing stuff? She comes in, she interrupts, and he doesn't go, Martha, bad Martha, bad Martha. He doesn't do that. He doesn't place blame on what she's doing, but what she does, she brings this thing that says, look, what I'm doing is the most important thing, and it needs to interrupt what's going on in there. Maybe what she wanted to say is, y'all ought to get up and come into the kitchen and help me do this. You know, we don't have time to sit around and listen to stories all day and be encouraged and filled. You know, we can do that later, but right now, we got some beds to make. We got some food to make. There's 13, 14 people here. Maybe that's what she really wanted to say. But as soon as it became something that was more important, Jesus, so loving and caring, goes, Martha, doesn't say what you're doing is wrong. He just says, look, there's something of greater importance that's here. And right now it's sitting with me. See, busyness has a way of causing distress that gets us for a moment to forget that the one, like in this case, we're upset with Jesus, has the one to bring an end to all of that. He could. Oh my gosh, we didn't make food. I'm so sorry, I was so glued on what you were talking about and listening to. What should we do? Jesus would say this. What do you got? I got 2 muffins and some orange juice. That's plenty. Let's give thanks and then pass it out. Can't you see that happening? But because of her in distress, caused her to go from busy to busyness, she actually thinks that that's more important. I'll give you an example of this personally. One time driving in Atlanta, multiple times driving in Atlanta. Has there been a hurry in Atlanta? Kind of doesn't go together, does it? I remember driving, and I'm trying to get someone to work, and we're running late, and I'm getting busy. And all of a sudden, every space where the car in front of me could pull into looks like 6 miles long. It's probably like 1 car length, right? And I'll be honest with you, I'm sitting there going, oh, my gosh, what are we waiting for? The whole freeway to close, you know, or the road to close? I'm like, come on, we got to go. There's, they missed the next one, you know. So 2 days later, I'm sitting there with the same person in my car, Caitlin. It's my fault, so I'll say her name. There she is. Hi, Katie. Surprise. There's a gap, and we're in a hurry. She goes, they could have pulled out right there, right there, right there. Like, that kind of sounds familiar, right? Trying to get busy and allowing busyness, I'm talking to cars that can't hear me, trying to get the gap that they really can't fit in to hurry up. Why? Because I'm distressed about I'm going to be late to where I'm going. Busyness can skew our mindset and pull us off. But here's the beauty of it. You know what the remedy is? It's peace. Everyone say peace. Peace. Peace is an amazing thing. It's rest. In John 14:27, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. See, Jesus left us peace. If I leave the house and I go, hey, kids, there's $100 on the counter I left for you. How long do you think it stays there? Till the quickest kid grabs it, right? Jesus said, I'm leaving my peace for you. He sets it out there for what? For us to grab hold of. Sometimes mountains are huge and the traffic is bad and the busy is trying to move you to the busyness. We got to grab hold of this peace that was left for us. It's a free gift. And the cool thing is it's not like the world's peace. It doesn't produce trouble and it doesn't produce fear. Colossians 3 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace and be thankful. So the word rule, this is interesting. I looked up the word rule because I'm like, this peace that's been given to us, let it rule in your hearts. So what does it mean to rule? And this was the definition of it. Brebio, I think is how it's pronounced. It actually means to be an umpire, to decide, to determine, to direct, control, to rule. And so I can't help it. I coach my daughter's softball team. And I thought, you know, when you let peace rule in your heart, when the busy tries to switch to busyness and push it over the edge, that's when you get to be an umpire, right? Strike three, you're out of here, right? It's so funny to see how energetic umpires can get, even at a 10U softball game. So 10 and 11-year-olds, you know, and they're learning how to hit. They're sitting there, and all of a sudden the pitch comes in, boom, strike. You know, they're dancing around, dust is flying up, and the kids are like, okay, you know, let's pitch again. But we get to do that because when the thoughts and when the enemy begins to attack and starts to bring rubbish to you and starts to put a blanket on you like we'd call it, you go, hey, time out. I'm the umpire here. Get out. You're gone. That's strike three. See ya. Ride the pine. Sit on the bench. Are you with me? You get to be an umpire. But when it's the peace that's coming in, man, grab hold of that. Tuck it in because it was left for you to grab hold of, and it's a free gift that was given to you. The second cause of busyness, distracted. We can be distracted. Verse 40 says, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. It's very easy for us to get distracted, especially when it comes to busy things. You know, at Catalyst, we got to go to Catalyst. How many of you guys went to Catalyst? Jeez, what a great time, huh? Fabulous time, and Bill Hybels was sharing, and Andy Stanley was interviewing him, and he was just being honest for a moment, and he said, you know, I'm embarrassed to say this, but I found it, when I go to the place of prayer, I would say, okay, Lord, here I am, Jesus, thank you, and he'd begin to pray, and then he'd begin, oh, wait, I got to call so-and-so, and you know what, after this, I need to make sure to do this, and I should, oh, geez, Lord, I'm so sorry. How many of you guys have been in that place you're trying to pray and there's all this stuff coming in, right? So he said he got to a place, he just started writing down his prayers, giving focus to it, thinking, why? Because he wants to be good in that area with the Lord, to have that relationship. One of the things I did is when I pray, I put a little journal next to me because, like him, sometimes things pop in my head. They're not dumb things. You know, it's not like you should go watch Dora the Explorer, episode 6, and I go, oh, I better write that down, right? No, there are things that pop into my mind because I'm taking a moment to slow down, and that's stuff that my mind's reminding me. Hey, remember you wanted, and I go, oh, if I put that pad next to me and I write it down real quick, I can let it go. I could just set it aside. So one or two things written down, and I get myself back to it. Well, Martha got distracted by all the preparations. It says that she had a sister named Mary who sat before the master, hanging on every word she said, but Martha was pulled away. By what? By all that she had to do in the kitchen. In Titus 3, this is just a paraphrase, it says, at one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. And then later on in verse 6, he says, or 8, excuse me, this is a trustworthy saying, and I want to stress these things to those who have trusted in God. Be careful to devote yourself to doing what is good. See, busyness tries to pull us away from doing those things that are good, to be able to determine, what should I spend my time doing right now? And Martha came in and tried to say, this is what we should spend our time doing. And the Lord kind of brought it about and said, look, this is the better thing to do. The remedy for this is alignment. You know, I had a 66 Mustang when I was growing up in high school, loved the car, fixed it up. But how many know when you fix things up, it doesn't always go as well as planned, right? So this is scary, but I'm just going to tell you. So I fixed up my Mustang, and it needed an alignment. But what do you know about alignments? They're pretty expensive. When you spend all your money on chroming out an engine, an alignment just sounds frivolous, right? I could literally turn left by taking my hands off the wheel and hitting the brake just a little. No joke. Michelle can testify. I just take my hands off the wheel, hit the brake a little, and the car would go. I thought that was the coolest thing in the world after 5 sets of tires. Alignment. Man, alignment is an amazing thing that is good for our car and it keeps everything running. But sometimes we step into an opportunity for alignment. And that's what Martha did. She comes into the room, She's upset. She's frustrated. She brings her concern before the Lord. He responds just in love and goes, Martha. And right there, there's an opportunity for her to experience an alignment. The Lord doesn't belittle her. He doesn't smash her. He just said, hey, look, few things are needed, actually only one, and Mary has chosen what is better. It's not going to be taken from her. Sometimes the reality of the moment reveals itself for what it is, and we're left for a decision. Jesus put before her. Now, it doesn't go on to say, so Martha left everything in the kitchen and she sat next to Mary. Kind of left it open. And sometimes I think through busyness, the kindness of the Lord comes to us and goes, hey, we just need a little alignment here. Or maybe a better word would be adjustment. To bring us to that place so we can realize what is the most important thing. Just take a moment. Because busyness playing itself out adds to those things. It's stressful. It's frustrating. You begin to say things that you wish you could take back. The third cause of busyness is being drawn away. It said that she was drawn away from all of the preparations and the things that she had to do in the kitchen. We can be drawn away from the things that matter because we're busy. Have you ever been pulled away from something that you know it was good to do? Michelle and I started this tradition, I don't know how many years ago, but we decided that for Christmas Eve after service, started this in Texas, we would have a bunch of friends over and we just celebrate together after church. And so one year we decided to do just this big thing. We rented a horse-drawn carriage. We had tons of food, and we thought it was going to be, we were leading the church in Texas, we thought it would be a great way to connect with other people in the body. And we found ourselves, honestly, overwhelmed a little bit with all of the preparations and things we had to do, because we cooked the food, we served the food, we cleaned up from that. And then on top of all of that, Michelle goes into labor. She chooses to go into labor on top of all of that. So we gathered everyone on the front lawn and said, hey, we're going to go have a baby. You guys have fun. It's literally what happened. But I remember thinking back on that going, gosh, we set out to have connection and to build relationship with people. And what we did was pour soup and run around and wash dishes. Where's the extra spoons? And can anybody relate to this? But we loved the idea and we felt like that was God inspired. So we began to say, okay, so how do we do this so that we can do what we want to do, which is connect with people, love on people, still serve them and stuff, but how do we do this in a way where we're not entrapped by all of the things that has to happen? And so we realized that if we made a special kind of dish, it's a lot easier. So we made soups. Some of the best soups in the world, I'm telling you. Really good. Different soups. They're on the stove. They're warm. Here's the plates. Here's you do it. Enjoy. And that gave Michelle and I the opportunity to go around and do what was in our heart to do, which was visit with other people and connect with other people. Sometimes we can get pulled away from what's the most important, or the thing we want to do, and the things that matter, and be drawn away to something that doesn't matter as much. Sorry, I'm running out of time, so I'm trying to. The remedy for drawn away is to draw near. Is to draw near. Romans 10:19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. The response is to draw near to God. And we have confidence to do so. Why? Because of something we did? No, because of the blood of Jesus, because of a torn veil, because we have full assurance, because of faith, and because we could do it with guilt-free. Sometimes I have found that in the most unexpected ways, I call it, the Lord will tap me on the shoulder and want to talk about something. You guys ever get this? Sometimes it's in the middle. I'm just going to say it. Greg's teaching a great message. I'm taking notes, and the Holy Spirit goes, hey, I got something for you. And I really want to go, just hold on. He's point four is coming up. Let me just get that, and then. And it's not a malice or anything. I'm excited for what, and the Lord's going, hey, can you get these downloads of information, or maybe a word for somebody, or you get this stuff. Those are invitations by the Lord. Just tapping you on the shoulder, go, I know this is good, but can you pull away with me for a second? I got something for you. It's an invitation. Sometime I have found throughout the day to pull aside and to ask the Lord a few questions. Lord, what do you want to do today? That's one of my favorite. What do you want to do today? Taking the time to draw near. What do you want me to do today? How do you want to handle this situation? You get something that's right up in front, and you're like, I don't know what to do with this. How do you want me to handle this situation? I'd love to say at Disneyland, I was like, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to handle this situation? I was thinking on handling this situation, but that wasn't the way the Lord was telling me to do it. And then in his kindness, he comes out and does that. He does the same thing with us all the time. Just take a moment to draw near and ask him, what should I spend my time doing today? It's been a fun experience, I'll use it that way, for me, for my wife, for our family, to take those times throughout the day to ask the Lord what he wants to do. And the funny thing is we've got to be willing to do what he says, because sometimes it doesn't make sense. Lord, I'm really busy. I got this thing. Hey, I got like 5 minutes. Is there anything you want me to do today? And then he's like, oh, yeah, I'm glad you asked. Well, what is it? Well, I want you to do this. I want you to take your kids for coffee today. But I have an appointment, and I set this up, and remember we were going to, because, yeah, I think this is the most important thing for you to do. Okay? See, it's not me going around deciding what that looks like. It's me asking him, who loves us and wants the best for us. If he didn't want the best for us, see, if I was God, it'd be scary for you to ask me, right? Tom, what do you want me to do right now? I don't know, take a shoe off, throw it in the air, and spin in circles. That God's not like that. Amen? Amen? He loves you. He wants things better for you than sometimes we want for ourselves. He wants to open doors before you. And he wants to help you be busy with the things that he has for you. Because when we're busy with his things, it's easier, it's peaceful, it's restful, and it takes away any of the stress that is lingering. But when we try to add that effort and let's work hard, and maybe if I do it this way or like that, man, it raises that stress level. So in closing, I want to put this before us today. I feel like there's some of you today that honestly need to be able to say the word no. You just need to be able to say no. Everyone say it together. No. Because, that was a good one. Because sometimes the things are coming and the things the Lord wants you to do, he puts before you, and then phone rings and there's a knock at the door and stuff comes and you're torn. You have a compassionate heart. You want to help everybody. But like Mary and Martha, we've got to be willing to go, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? I just want you to sit at my feet. Okay, then let me shut the phone off. I have this bad habit. If the phone rings, I got to answer it. Or at least look who's calling. Anybody with me on that? Man, if the Lord's going, hey, Tom, I got to shut it off. Because I know, doo-doo-doo, doo-doo-doo. No, I didn't, you know, quick look. But drawing away to the Lord is, Lord, I'm going to give you my full attention right now. What is it that you want? What should we talk about? And it's become, for me, so awesome that it's a daily practice, and I do it multiple times because I know what he tells me in the beginning. Sometimes as we move on, situations change and things happen, and he wants me to go and do something, and I'm not there for what I really thought. We may be at the gas station getting gas, but we're not really there to get gas. There's someone he wants us to talk to in the car behind us. We could be someplace and we think we're there for a specific reason, but God's actually brought us there for something different. He wants to align us a little differently to see that. So some of you may just need to say no. Some of you may need an alignment today. You could be in a place of just busyness. It's like, gosh, how do I get through this? Just stop and ask the Lord, and let's get that alignment. And some of you may need to draw near. The funny thing about busy versus busyness is there's nothing wrong with being busy. We're called to be busy. When we're busy for the Lord, man, it's exciting. I was talking to Savannah afterwards, and she was talking about, gosh, you know, I went from not doing this to just, I'm busy all the time. But she's like, you know what? It's so much fun because it's the busy that God directed us for. Being in Uganda and being busy and running here and there, it didn't feel busy. I often say, being on staff here at Northlands, it doesn't feel like a job. I can't believe I get to do this. It's amazing. That busy that the Lord directs us into, that's what it feels like. It's fun. It's exciting. It's restful. There's no stress. You just can't wait for the next thing the Lord wants to do. Amen? So I'm going to close this in prayer. So if you're here today and you're in that place where you know, because this is a cool thing. I share this and then the Holy Spirit gets to talk with you and move your heart and give you direction. But if you're here today and you realize, man, there's things, I just need to learn to say no. Saying no isn't mean. It's aligning yourself with what God is calling you to do. And you go, yeah, I can't do these things. And we have to be willing to accept other people who say no. But the first thing is to say no. If you're in a need for an alignment, then just ask the Lord, Lord, would you align this? Because this is out of control. This is busy, this situation. And if you want to draw near to him, I just want you to ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do today? When I leave church, I got the whole rest of the day. What do you want me to do with it? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for the amazing relationship that we get to have with you. Thank you for the direction you give us. Thank you for your gentle voice. Thank you for your prompting, for your guiding us. And Father, I want to pray. I want to pray over every person today. And Lord, for those who need to be able to say no, Lord, I pray that there would be a no that would be spoken, but at the same time, there would be a yes that is spoken to you. I pray that you empower people to be able to say no to things because they've said yes to something that you have guided them. Father, for those of us that just need an alignment, the busyness, we're looking ahead at the week and we're not looking forward to it. Lord, would you come and would you part that sea of this week before us and make a way? Lord, I'm so grateful that you are the God who makes a way. And would you do that for us this week? And Lord, I just pray that this week would be a week of drawing near, taking a moment, maybe early of the day or at lunch or whatever. Lord, I love the testimonies of people just locking their door for a moment and saying, Lord, we want to speak. Knowing that whatever has to get done, you're faithful and you'll make sure it does. But Father, I just pray that it would be this increase of drawing near. So Father, we thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.